all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, June 30th. It'll be July tomorrow already. Today is National Social Media Day. It is also the retirement day for our friend Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So we want to wish him happy trails, and I'll have a thing or two to say about a book of his that y'all should have by now. Coming up this hour, we'll talk more about the U.S. Supreme Court, the six right-wing justices ruling that institutional racism has apparently been solved, and it's all right if college campuses are about to get a little whiter in their opinion. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about that case. Also about the way that national media can get so fixated on cynicism and division that they can get their audiences to look at a growing economy and somehow feel like a recession might be imminent. That's with Mark Jacob. We'll also talk to Dan Schumacher. If you missed our last hour with Kia Vakil, where we talked about Donald Trump's latest excuses for waving around classified documents, you can catch the show anytime, either as a podcast or just listen at the Civic Media website. That's civicmedia.us. And again, for the work we're doing at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, you can find us at upnorthnewswi.com. or look for Up North News WI on social media. And if you're listening live here today and want to give us a call, the number is 844-967-2789. Aaron Zommers is in Madison as well, back with us after a day off to move apartments and such. And we did not get storms here last night. We did the night before, but there were some to the north, and I was just looking at a photo on one of the TV station sites. You ever see those clouds that are just, you can't get over how high some of these clouds get. And if I was driving into one of those, I'd be a little frightened, but they were ominous last night.
Yeah. I've definitely seen plenty of those, but not last night here. Anyway.
I would not want to be driving under those, but thankfully nothing severe as near as I can tell, and we will get an update from Weatherology on the forecast in just a bit. I was telling Aaron before that this is the 30th of the month. It's the end of the month. It's the end of a quarter as well. And so if you've noticed, if you get political fundraising emails or texts or whatever, I mean, my phone is blowing up. I get virtually no fundraising emails anymore. And I could shut off the texts as well, but they're kind of my way. I see on my lock screen, I just want to see who's doing what, who's active, who's actively out there. I've never clicked on one of them. I've never responded to one of them. I'm sorry if you're in the fundraising, game. Clearly these things work or they wouldn't keep doing them. And that's what they always told me as a candidate. And I didn't believe them. And then I'd look at the numbers and I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. It's fun. Fundraising works in all of its many fashions. But you said you don't get much for fundraising texts.
No, surprisingly, not really. I know when I used to live in Manitowoc and even in Appleton, I got precisely zero fundraising texts. And I don't think I got any emails either. Or if I did, they just got caught by spam filters. But now that I'm in Madison, I get some. But I haven't gotten any in the last maybe month or so.
Yeah, and fundraising, of course, can be awfully annoying. And it's trust me, it's no walk in the park as a candidate. I can definitely assure you of that, being locked in a room for hours on end. But again, sometimes, raising those small dollar amounts is the only way you can confront, people on the other side of an election who, have a billionaire on their side or something like that. And so to that end, Courier Newsroom, the parent company of Up North News, also does fundraising. Now, Courier Newsroom is funded, does have one or two billionaires who are giving them money, but of course they don't give them the whole budget. They give them a little bit, and then they've got to go get some more from other underwriters and sponsors. And then, you also want to show grassroots support. And so every so often, Up North News and the other outlets will do little fundraising drives. And I have the Up North News ones come to a post office box here in Chippewa Falls. And I get all kinds of these things. Maybe I better cover up the address for the video feed, but I get all kinds of these checks that are sent in, little envelope, little sweet handwriting from people. And, this is a lovely woman in Waupaca who sent in what I haven't opened this up yet. I just got it it's probably a $25 check or a $50 check. And usually there's a post-it note attached saying, you know, we love Up North News, or, you know, keep up what you're doing or whatever. So as annoying as fundraising can be, this is all to say that it is a way for people to show their support. I have had some amazing conversations with people while I was doing fundraising calls. You really get to meet some wonderful people. So this is all to say you're going to get hectored a lot today, but today really would be a good day to, you know, help a favorite candidate or cause, or even something like a media outlet like Up North News. Be a good day to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, send $20 their way, or $100, or whatever the case may be. And now that I've said all that, Aaron, I think you're ready to set up a GoFundMe page. You know, that I think we should fund Aaron so he can, you know, come in to work nice and early. Breakfast burrito fund or something.
There
like
we go.
That.
Breakfast burritos. I'll take that.
send the checks and money orders to post office box. No, I won't.
And hey, if you're donating for breakfast burritos, $25 or $100, that's overkill. Just $5.
$5. Yeah. Look what you can do with just $5. And then send the other, you know, 20 to Up North News or a candidate or whatever the case may be. All right, let's take a break here. We'll get our weatherology forecast, tell you about the Brewers wrapping up a 4-game series in Citi Field against the Mets, and the U.S. Senior Open is in Wisconsin this weekend. We'll have a first round leader coming up in just a bit on this Friday morning. You're Up North. We're doing Sports, which was the number one album this day in 1984 from Huey Lewis and the News. But the first thing we're going to do after this, we've talked about, you know, the rather ominous clouds that were out for scattered thunderstorms throughout the day yesterday and last night. But let's take a look at how it is heading into the long holiday weekend. And Jennifer Wojcicki is here from Weatherology to tell us all about it. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, once again, an air quality alert is in effect for most of the state today. People with respiratory issues, heart disease, children, and older adults are advised to stay indoors as haze and smoke lingers today. Otherwise, it looks like a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon hours for the southern portion of the state. Sunny skies to start, then an increase in cloud cover. Then just looking at sunshine for the rest, Oshkosh over to Amory, highs in the mid-80s to right around about 90 degrees. And then for tonight, the weekend here, it looks like we'll have a chance for, we'll see sunny skies expected from Wausau over to Baldwin with highs lingering in the mid to upper 80s as a high pressure system will be in control. So fairly similar forecast there. Chance for showers and thunderstorms for the southern half of the state, both Saturday and Sunday, slight chance Saturday night into Sunday around Wisconsin Rapids and Oshkosh, highs in the mid to low 80s there. So a little bit on the cooler side. Monday, it does look like just a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms from Milwaukee over to Madison, then dry and sunny for the rest of the state, mid 80s to low 90s expected, so warming it back up a little bit. Then for the 4th of July holiday coming up on Tuesday, it looks like at least a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms coming in for nearly everyone, a little bit of a better chance in west central Wisconsin. Overall, with highs again in the mid-80s to low-90s.
All right. I know you just had that trip to Europe, so I'll understand if you have to, like, work for the weekend or something, but do you get to do something fun yourself for the holiday weekend?
I will be sleeping in this weekend, but I will work for the holiday.
Sleeping in is perfectly acceptable answer for a holiday weekend. I am running best of shows Monday and Tuesday, so I will talk to you live next on Wednesday. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology there. Right now it is 70 degrees in Green Bay, 70 in La Crosse, 72 in Oshkosh. Wausau coming in at 66. Hayward reporting 59 degrees. And up here on Lake Wasota, 66 at our home base, 93.5 the tap. Brewers defeated the Mets 3-2 last night and won three out of the four games that were there. Oh, there's my note there. Victor Caratini. He had the two-run home run in the sixth. The Brewers had been down 2-0. Caratini's two-run homer in the sixth tied the game. And then in the seventh, with the bases loaded, Brian Anderson came this close to a grand slam. Still, the sacrifice fly in deep right center was enough to score the winning run. And that takes the Brewers to Pittsburgh now for games tonight, Saturday, and Sunday before coming home next Monday to start a series with the Cubs. And as always, you can catch the games on Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 and 1100 AM, or News from the Center and Richland Center 107.7 and 1450 AM. There's big time golf going on in Wisconsin this weekend. The U.S. Senior Open at Century World. Retief Goosen leads after the first round. The two-time U.S. Open champion had a one under par 70 that left him tied for second, two strokes behind Rod Pampling. Then there's defending champion Steve Stricker from Madison. He had two double bogeys and finished with a 72. That ended his PGA Tour champion's record. He had shot 55 consecutive rounds of par or better. And then Madison's Jerry Kelly shot a 71. All right, I mentioned learning from Aaron. Aaron, you mentioned that Matt Rothschild was on town call with our friend Luke the other day, getting set for his retirement.
Yeah, answering some questions from callers, sharing his expertise with us. Not one last time, but one last time while still working for the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
While getting a paycheck from that. Yeah, exactly. Yes. We had him on a few weeks back now. It was right before his last annual dinner for the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And so it just gives me one more opportunity to pull the book out that I have here, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. This is the book that Matt Rothschild wrote a few years back. And I'm not going to give you all 12 yet. You got to buy the book. But, number one, can you guess what the number one thing is to save democracy in Wisconsin?
Vote.
Well, that would be good. Make voting easier is one of them. Ban gerrymandering. Yeah. If you get rid of gerrymandering, first and foremost, talks about campaign finance reform, recusal rules, talking about the state Supreme Court, I'm sure. And then there's ranked choice voting, which I don't think you've taken part in any elections like that yet, have you?
No, but I definitely agree that ranked choice voting would make a big difference.
It really would. And we had an example of that just yesterday when we were talking with Joe Zepecki about the Marquette Law School poll and how if it's Donald Trump and the rest of the field, then, Trump comes out on top by 2 points. But if you had ranked choice voting, and everybody voted for their first favorite and then their second favorite and their third favorite. And then, with each round, you take away the person in last place and then you reallocate all those voters to their second choice or their third choice, as the case may be. Once you do all that and you get just to Trump and DeSantis, DeSantis leads Trump by something like 10 or 12 points.
Wow.
And you end up seeing somebody that would win a majority rather than winning an election with, say, 30%. So it really could make a difference. In fact, wasn't it just last year that Sarah Palin was running for Congress in Alaska? And if it would have been under the old system, she probably would have won. But with ranked choice voting, it was the Democrat that won that congressional seat by the time all was said and done. So ranked choice voting has already done good for our nation.
Yeah, it just makes sense, I think, because it doesn't make sense not to have it, basically.
Yeah, because again, that whole notion of, what did we just talk about with Kia Vakil in the last hour? That there are something like 14 candidates already on the Republican side, a whole lot of nobodies. And, if you feel like, well, now you got to vote for the leader, because why would you vote for somebody who's only going to get 2%? But
exactly,
maybe you vote for somebody who's in third place initially, but by the time everybody looks at, who their second or third choice would be, you actually all agree that this is the person in this field who should be that person. So it's definitely something that I know Matt Rothschild and others have talked about.
If we had ranked choice in 2016, we could have had Hillary Clinton as president. I feel like that's a likely outcome, because a lot of the people who voted for Jill Stein, they're like, we just want to send Hillary a message. And you're like, you did send her a message. You sent everyone in America a message.
Yeah, you sent a message, all right. Other headlines in the news today: a Florida man who has been on the run for almost four decades and featured several times on America's Most Wanted and on other Most Wanted lists has finally been caught in California and brought back to Florida for a 1984 murder. Donald Santini was the last person seen with Cynthia Wood before her body was found in a canal. Earlier this month, Santini was found in San Diego after evading capture for 39 years. Just again to show that, you know, perseverance is going to pay off in the end, and hopefully some of the folks that watch some of the crime shows will be able to get some credit for that arrest. Another news headline that came up this morning: if you are in a community with an Experience fitness club, Experience, you know, spelled with an X, X-P-E-R-I-E-N-C-E, Experience Fitness announced last night that it's closing all of its Wisconsin locations permanently. It was an abrupt announcement, apparently, from the company that said the closure would be effective at 9 p.m. And it includes locations in Appleton, Green Bay, Hales Corners, Waukesha, Brookfield, West Allis, and Greenfield. On this story here that I'm looking at from the TMJ4 website in Milwaukee, there was an email to members where Experience said membership will be automatically transferred to a Planet Fitness location. It said, as a welcome gift to Experience Fitness members, Planet Fitness will provide full access to all Black Card amenities through the month of July 2023, which includes level 4 tanning, hydro massage beds, massage chairs, unlimited guest privileges, and 50% off select cooler drinks. The reason behind the closure is not yet known. Experience put up an Instagram post that said, "This was an incredibly difficult decision, and we apologize for the unfortunate news. Thank you to all of our staff members, trainers, and most importantly, our amazing members for 11 years of fitness." And you got to think, what a kick in the pants that is, Aaron, not just for the clients, but it sounds like the workers were, again, just abruptly said, "Well, thanks, we got to go. Bye."
Yeah, it's really just tragic when a company leaves a location out to dry like that. Like, I know a friend of mine used to work at a T-Mobile in Milwaukee that was in like a little mall complex, and it was tucked away in the corner, had no signage outside that was visible unless you were walking past that corner already. So they didn't get very many customers. The employees, the manager of the store kept trying to get petitions like, "Hey, can we please put up a sign so maybe somebody will find the store?" And they just decided, "No, we're just going to starve it out." And then they closed it.
My heart breaks for people that end up working for, you know, chains like this, where the chain, you know, again, probably grew too big too fast, you know, and could not keep up in terms of advertising, promotion, get customers. And now, so now they're going to Planet Fitness, which I think I've been to one time as a visitor, and I'm not in any way criticizing them. If I had a Planet Fitness by me, maybe I'd be a member. But I just when I think of a fitness center, and again, I'm old and going to get older on Monday here. But when I see level 4 tanning, hydro massage beds, massage chairs, etc., it just reminds me how very different, you know, my concept of a fitness center is versus what it is now, which is, you know, again, you need all the amenities, which means you need all the money. So the places that are going to stay in business are going to be the biggest chains because they can offer these luxuries.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't need luxuries like that. If I, well, right now I'm not really working out at all, but if I were, I wouldn't need,
I don't need Globo Gym. I need Average Joe's, you know?
Right.
And you're never going to go wrong with a dodgeball reference on this show, by the way. But that's all I would want was just Average Joe's. But you know, those, it feels like they're getting increasingly harder to find. I have found an activity for you in Madison for tomorrow, Mr. Zommers. According to MTV down in Madison, the Madison Mallards are going to attempt to break a record that is made for Wisconsin, the world's largest brandy old fashioned.
Wow.
Check out this ingredient list. It's going to be done on Wednesday as part of their Wisconsin Day promotion. It will be made in a 350-gallon inflatable glass. Here's the recipe. 39 one-liter bottles of Wollersheim brandy, 10.5 gallons of Wollersheim brandy old-fashioned cocktail syrup with cherry juice, Milwaukee-made bitters, and brown sugar, 187 2-liter bottles of Starry. There's ice cubes by Wisco Ice, over 500 pre-sliced oranges, and 5 gallons of maraschino cocktail cherries. Would you sample it?
I most definitely would.
Okay, well, there you go. Gates open at 4. The game is at 5:05 tomorrow. The cocktail creation will start right after the game begins. Mark Jacob is standing by. We'll have a discussion with him about some of this week's headlines and media coverage next. You're up north. Mark Jacob is here with us now, former editor at the Chicago Tribune and at the Chicago Sun-Times, and author, and he has a new column at Courier Newsroom entitled How the Media Manufactures Moderates, and you can read that at couriernewsroom.com. We'll get into that and other subjects in just a bit here. Mark, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I am very good, thank you. Hey, we have spent some time talking about the actual substance of the U.S. Supreme Court decision strikes down affirmative action. And I just was curious. I don't know that I've seen anything from you on this and whether you had any impressions on how such a big story was covered, you know, either by the broadcast or the print media over the past, 24 hours or so.
Well, I do think that, you know, anyone who was shocked, you have to wonder kind of how much they're paying attention, because it was clear that this was going to go this way. I mean, of all the Supreme Court rulings in this term, you know, to me, that this is the least surprising. I guess what really strikes me is all the right-wing propaganda about how, well, now it's going to be strictly on merit. Well, clearly it's not going to be strictly on merit. Clearly there, you know, you don't hear the Republicans talking about, like, let's get rid of legacy appointments to letting people in just because their grandparent was at this college. You don't get people saying, well, we shouldn't let people into college just because their father gave, you know, $500,000 to the college, which happens. That's what happens. You can buy your way into college. And of course, the reason for affirmative action, one of the reasons was that this was an inherently unfair system. You know, very few, you know, black applicants to college, you know, had a grandfather or a great grandfather who was in college. You know, so the legacy stuff inherently benefited white people, and that continues. So there is affirmative action. There's just not the kind of affirmative action that just affects black people. They don't have it.
Yeah, and again, the same group of folks with money who can, you know, buy a spot for their kid in college are the same ones who can fund elections for the people that appoint these kinds of Supreme Court justices. So there's a lot to be said for money.
And you know, Pat, I mean, I'm not saying I'm actually don't believe that that just a strictly race-based thing is the fairest way to do it. I think there are a lot of ways to do it. It could be thought about in a real deep and thoughtful way that, you know, that we really try to get a diverse student body just to benefit everyone. I mean, this is another thing that people say, well, we're just helping black people unfairly. No, actually, we're helping make colleges reflect reality so that our students understand, you know, everyone, not just the people in their, you know, little white suburb. I mean, it's broadening people's perspective on the world, and that requires diversity.
Right. And that was a point I made last hour of, you know, don't pretend you're taking a stand against quotas, because quotas were struck down many years ago. What you're doing is, you know, if other people want to try to increase the diversity on their campus or in whatever their operation is, why are you standing in their way? You know, what do you gain by that? You know, if you don't want to be in a more diverse world, you don't have to be, but why do you have to be like Robin Voss and, you know, take $32 million away from the University of Wisconsin system because they, and especially their students, would like to meet more people who are not necessarily from the zip code they grew up in?
Right.
David from Mequon is on the call with a question about affirmative action. David, what's your question?
Well, it's not a question. It's just making a quick comment. Okay. I was actually happy with the ruling yesterday, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And the reason being because I think we're doing a disservice if we're admitting people just based on the color of their skin, and the reason being, there's no way, I'm just going to give you an example. If you have some individual that is, okay, let's say they have the opportunity to go to Harvard, Stanford, what have you, Ivy League school, right? If for some odd reason, there's a different caliber, obviously, of learning at those institutions versus, let's say, going to UW-Platteville. Let's just be honest, okay? So if you're willing to take a person that might not be able to, let's say their test scores are not as good and some other things, but they still get admitted to Harvard, you're setting them up for failure because they're not going to be prepared for what's going to be thrown at them academically. And it would be the same situation would be if you were to take, let's say, football, for example, college football. Mm-hmm. If you were to take the third string running back in the Badgers, they could probably be a starter at a small school. Mm-hmm. And the reason being because the competition, what's expected, is different. So I think at the end of the day, people have to realize we actually, by approving people just based on race, and
it's not just based on their race.
That's the thing. See, it never was just based on race, David. And in fact, I've got a good person to bring on who heard this and wants to talk about it as well. It's Earl Ingram, whose show comes up next year at 8 o'clock on some of these civic media stations. Earl, good morning.
Good morning. I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you, sir. So what were your thoughts there?
Well, so you know, as a black man who knows the history of this nation and the fact that this is what been somewhere around 60 years that these issues have been in the forefront as it relates to universities, what's at the root of all of this is the fact that the K through 12th grade schools are certainly not equal and just. And so that leads to, when we talk about those who wind up attempting to go to these universities, how is it fair? We hear people complaining and saying that it's not fair, it shouldn't be based on those things. But for 350 years or more, you know, we have had to deal with this. And the real issue is that it was legal, it was lawful for universities to discriminate against people of color. And to now turn around and say, well, that's not fair, it's not just, is what's at the root of this. And for people to say, well, it's, you know, people are being discriminated against, the Asians are being discriminated against, yes, they are. And because we live in a system that needs to be corrected, and so can you say that after 60 years, this has been corrected? It's not right that Asians get discriminated against either. But at the same time, again, 350 to 400 years of chattel slavery and those other things that existed in this country, it is an insult to say that now we have to correct it because it's racism and discrimination in education is unjust. Well, it's been unjust for longer than I can even attest to.
Mm-hmm. Earl, I sense this is going to be a topic of yours right off the top of the show at the next hour.
Absolutely.
All right, absolutely. Earl, we'll look forward to it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your input here. All right. Have a great morning. Have a good show. So, Mark, again, thanks for letting us take a couple of calls on that. And now I want to go over to your new column for Courier Newsroom, and that is how the media manufactures moderates. And again, we've talked about this, the both sidesism that is cancerous to good journalism. That I think probably plays a role in what you're saying to folks here.
Well, one of the main points I'm making is that the media glorifies people that they deem as moderates. And they do that not because they like moderates, I don't think. I think that one of the main reasons is because it's a safe place for them to be. That way they won't tick off the left too much. They won't tick off the right. It's a moderates, or it's kind of their way of triangulating. And so, but the problem, one of the problems is that they invent moderates, that people who are not moderates get named moderates just because they decided they were, you know, like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, who I don't think are moderates. I think they're very radical on certain issues. Joe Manchin is clearly a radical on climate change. And Kristen Sinema is pretty much kind of open to, you know, she's just trying to help, you know, hedge funds and private equity corporations. She's pretty much just kind of doing business in the Senate. And so to confer this kind of moderate label and pretend that these people are, that makes them kind of better than everyone else because, you know, they're willing to compromise and all this is ridiculous. And also, Pat, I mean, let's just look at what bipartisanship is in today's world. I mean, I remember Tip O'Neill. I'm old enough to remember all that. And, you know, and how everyone used to like cut deals and compromise and things got done in Congress. But that was different. That was before the Republicans went full fascist. It was before the Republicans, you know, got to this place where this scary place where they're, you know, demonizing, you know, gay people. They're doing all these. I mean, what I'm saying is that how do you compromise with people who are, you know, separating, we're doing family separation. I mean, what do you separate half the families? Is that a compromise? I mean, so there's certain things that you just can't compromise on, and being a moderate isn't always the best place to be.
And again, you can get more of this from Mark at his column, How the Media Manufactures Moderates. Go look for that at couriernewsroom.com. I also wanted to ask you about, again, this. It's not just that they're chasing moderation and centrism, but they also know there's another safe place to be, and that's cynicism. Mm-hmm. It predates Watergate and everything else that is out there, but there's just times when it just seems to get out of hand. And I think one of the more recent examples is to have an economy that has clearly been healthy, and yet so many people say that they think a recession is coming. It reminds me of, we've had plenty of polling here in Wisconsin where people say, my life is going great, but I think everything's on the wrong track. Exactly. And I think it's just the offshoot of that kind of cynicism that's out there.
Well, it's also, to me, the triumph of propaganda over journalism. And you end up, one really good way of looking at it, and people have started to cite this at least, is what they call the misery index, which is the jobless rate, you know, plus the inflation rate. And you want it to be as low as possible. And right now it's lower than it was when Obama got reelected. It's doing very well. Now, is inflation too high? Yeah, it's a little too high because we like came out of this pandemic and this shock to the economy where I think smart economists decided that they had to put a little money in there to keep people, you know, in groceries, and that they shot a little money into this, a lot of money actually into the system. And that's naturally going to cause inflation. And they've taken significant efforts now to bring it down. But let's look at the data. The real problem to me, Pat, is that people aren't looking, the journalists even are not looking at the data. They're looking at people's feelings instead of their facts. And that's why they want to cite polls all the time about how bad the economy is instead of actually looking at the numbers on what the economy is. It's not great for everyone, but it is not in a terrible place. It's actually in a fairly healthy place.
Sorry about that. I had my mic muted there. But it's lazy because polling numbers are so much easier to read than economic numbers. You know, that takes some homework. I think I got time for one more, and that is, boy, how about the pecs on that Robert Kennedy Jr.? Boy, doesn't he look good with a shirt off? Apparently that's all CNN cares about. And, you know, he's getting a forum there. He's getting one on News Nation. And again, based on the centrist sounding name more than the extreme positions he has.
Right. It's Kennedy. Oh yeah. You know, if somebody would name Kardashian was running, they'd probably get the same kind of level of, you know, of attention, because the problem is that the news media is fairly shallow. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I used to be a member of it. A lot of aspects of the news media are very shallow. And so, you know, so they get these pictures of RFK Jr.'s pecs, they can, you know, they put them on Twitter and run them in their news, and they think that they're going to, you know, get a whole bunch of people following them. And it's, you know, it's just this cheap play for clicks, and it's embarrassing.
And look, if you want to get clicks with journalism, consider this. All the Republicans who are trying to take credit for infrastructure projects, that they voted against. Seen some good newsrooms are calling them out on that. And that is the way to do it. You can find Mark Jacob on Twitter at MarkJacob16. And his new column is over at CourierNewsroom.com. Mark, thanks so much. Have a great holiday weekend.
Talk to you later.
All right. When we come back, we'll have Dan Schumacher here. We'll talk a little bit of sports and just kind of take that glide path into the holiday weekend. That's all straight ahead on Up North News Radio. We'll be back. I know Dan Schumacher's here, but we're taking some host prerogative and running my favorite Huey Lewis in the News Friday song before the long birthday, holiday, anniversary weekend. But Dan's here nevertheless. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, Pat. I've seen Huey Lewis in the News, 1984, Poplar Creek up in Hoffman Estates, Illinois.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I saw them at the Minnesota State Fair. I'm going to say it was, you know, probably 84 or 85. And we were talking about how this album, Sports, was the number one album this day in 1984. You know, it was a big year when there were only five number one albums that year because it was such a big year. You had Thriller, you had Footloose. Oh, Aaron, I'm missing my pop quiz. It was Thriller.
I will tell you, Huey Lewis.
Purple Rain and Born in the USA. That's it.
Born in the USA. That was one of the hottest tours that summer. Mm-hmm. Bruce sold out every major football stadium.
Yep.
That was nuts summer. Born in the USA was just nuts.
We were talking yesterday about Dancing in the Dark and the video. It was shot at the St. Paul Civic Center, you know, back in the day. So,
yeah. One more bit of trivia, Pat. Yes. Huey Lewis in the News used to come in as a guest and play with the Grateful Dead all the time in the 80s.
Oh, sure. Being a San Francisco band.
Yep. They were all together, constantly playing festivals together in San Francisco at Golden State Park and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. And what I guess tragedy is, there's no other way to put it for what has happened that Huey Lewis's hearing is to the point that he can't really sing anymore because of all those years of exposure to very, very loud rock and roll music, which it's amazing that you can hear me given how many Grateful Dead concerts that you've been to.
Yeah. Yeah. I have selective hearing now. That's what they call that.
Okay. What are you as a Chicago kid? What do you do when the Cubs come up to play at AmFam? Is it appointment viewing on the TV, or because I know sometimes you like to join us when we're watching Packer games, but other times you just like to sit by yourself, you know, and watch the Bears. Where are you on Cubs games this year?
I enjoy watching Cubs game, and it doesn't matter who they play. I could sit there and watch a Cubs game anytime. But last year I did go, with my wonderful girlfriend's family and her to see the Cubs and Brewers play at, AmFam or Miller Park, as I want to call it, just like I like still calling it Comiskey Park on the south side. If the Cubs are on, I'm watching, doesn't matter who, it just makes it a lot more fun when they are playing the Brewers and I get to sit around with guys like you and Art and other people and my girlfriend and everything like that to watch it. Banter back and forth. As far as Packers, I like the energy in places that we go to when the Packers are on. I just enjoy the energy of the people because they're so into it. And I don't have that with Bear fans here, but I would back home. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, you've got your own new team to root for up there at Northern College. What are you doing? 2 weeks into the gig now? How's that going?
It's a couple weeks in. It's all good. Already made some business decisions on some changes right away and letting me do my thing to make the place better as quickly as possible. Hired a hockey coach this week. We'll announce who that is next week. Should hire a baseball coach today and announce next week. Making some budget moves that allow us to – I mean, Pat, if you would know this the institution had no sports information director in the athletic department. The coaches were writing the press releases.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, and then, you know, so my first line of business was to, I'm going to advertising in the next 2 weeks for a sports information director to really handle the branding, as the webmaster for the website, all the releases, and really have a different look and professional look and appearance in a more timely manner, as does the other schools.
Well, and here's something that we talked about earlier, and you can just talk about this in general terms. But we talked about fundraising a little bit ago. Today being the last day of the month, last day of the quarter, 6 months into the year, the political fundraising is, you know, going to be so busy today. I talked about even fundraising for things like, you know, Up North News, but you, of course, are very much involved in talking to donors. You did at Eau Claire, you did in Chicago. You're certainly doing that up in the Ashland area now. And what I was saying is, fundraising is not fun for a lot of folks. It is difficult. It's annoying for some people. And yet you have some of the best conversations and you get such a good feel from people who actually do want to support you or whatever your cause or your group is. And now you're doing that with a school that's really trying to build up its sports. So I'm not surprised that you've had some very positive interactions already.
Yes, I have. I've already met with some of the biggest business leaders in the Ashland area that own major companies. The president and I have been lockstep on that. And we have our fundraiser golf outing on July 5th up the national park up there. I can't even say the name. It's an Indian name, a long Indian name. Shukabanan.
Shawamagan.
There it is. Thanks. There.
See, we're gonna get you in there.
But they do have a beautiful golf course. And so we have our big fundraiser golf outing. So, I spent some time on the phone this week trying to rally people that I've never met before. You know, before you're fundraising, you got to be friend-raising. And friend-raising is probably the most important part of the fundraising process. People don't know fundraising, especially with gifts over $10,000 or greater, it takes a long time to get there with a donor, to build enough trust, enough relationship, getting to know what their curiosity is and helping the institution in whatever way they have interest in. So, you know, technically they say if a person has the capacity to give a six-figure gift in the fundraising world, it usually takes 16 to 18 months to get there to process and build a relationship before you could even ask for something like that. So there's a science to it. I'm well versed in it since the mid 90s, and it serves, the athletic department, the major gift officer, the major fundraiser needs to be the athletic director of every athletic department.
Yeah.
And that's without a doubt. Experience.
Yep. All right. Let's get back to Cubs Brewers on Monday, and the Brewers took 3 out of 4 from the Mets. And really that's the real story here is the Mets with that. I don't even remember what their payroll is. It's an insane payroll. And they are so far below 500, and there's just such a jinx on New York sports. It seems by and large, the Yankees are a bit of an exception most of the time, but between the Mets, the Jets, the Giants, the hockey, the basketball teams, especially, I mean, it's just all that money.
I won't feel bad if the Jets have a bad season.
No, of course not. Not this year, especially.
No. I will tell you though, looking at those baseball standings, what's a shocker to me to see St. Louis at the bottom
of
the division, then the Cubs. Now you got the Pirates ahead of them.
And the Reds
are tied with the Brewers. Yep. It's usually the other way around.
I know. It's not the best division by far this year, but at least it's going to be close and competitive, Dan. Hey, have a great holiday weekend. Good to see you this morning.
Thanks, Pat. See you soon. Have a great holiday.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Remember, we have best of shows on Monday and Tuesday. We are back live on Wednesday. You can follow us all day long. We're at upnorthnewswi.com, upnorthnewswi on all your social media sites. You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Follow me on Facebook at Pat Kreitlow Up North and Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. People of the pod, we love every download. Come on back again. And if you're listening live, stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend.